everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Welcome to First Strike here on VSiN. I'm your host, Dave Ross, here at Circus Sportsbook in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Going to have Nick Klikas in studio in just a matter of minutes. Reed Kuhn, Dan Vreeland, and Jordan Sherwood going to round out this fine program here as we break down everything for UFC 285. Very quickly, I want to put a postscript on what we saw Saturday night with Merab Dilishvili destroying Peter Yan in five glorious rounds for Merab. Didn't lose a single round on the cards. Now the talk is, will he fight his buddy, Aljamain Sterling, for the belt there? We don't know that that's going to happen. Rob says it won't. Dana White says he might want to rethink that decision. Can't wait to see what happens there. But let's get to UFC 285 this week. Let's bring in the man that sets those numbers right here at Circus Sportsbook, Nick Klikas. Great to have you back in studio, my friend. Follow Nick as I do at Fight Odds. Does a great job at UFC on the line on ESPN+. Plus, this is a big one. Right, whenever you get to another pay-per-view and you get the trilogy fight now with Leon Rocky Edwards against Kamaru Usman, I'm just curious, Nick, when you set the number, and again, you go back to the first two fights, Kamaru won the first one easily, second one looked like he had in hand until you make a mistake, you get a dip and then a head kick, and we have a new champion here at 170 pounds. What are the number open for you, and what are you seeing so far in that money move?
Well, right now, I open it lower than the normal market, meaning I open around minus 220 when there's 240s out there a little bit. Believe it or not, despite everybody thinking last time was a fluke, I think this is going to be a different type of fight. So I wanted to attract some action early on the Usman side. We got it, of course. All the action is coming in his way. Now it is around minus 250, minus 260. I'm not surprised by it. It's going to be more of a public side. Of course, there's going to be some sharp opinion on that side as well. Based on what we saw last time, it's hard for people not to auto-bet Usman.
Right.
But I'm telling you, I think I'd approach this with more caution than people think.
Really? So again, you see now up to 245 here for the Nigerian Nightmare against Rocky Edwards here. Again, he was being dominated, and we saw the wrestling of that first one go out. And you mentioned that the public side right now has already bet Kamaru back up to 245, but you say take caution maybe in that side. Do you think Rocky might be able to utilize his hands better than we saw the last time?
I think he will have more success. And more times than not, you don't really see a duplicate performance from the previous fight. Now, I understand this is a trilogy, so the first two fights were pretty similar, right? But I still think something's going to give, and we're not going to see the exact same performance that Usman had and the dominance that he did have against Edwards last time. Also, you have to factor in a little bit of confidence now. He knows that he was able to finish Usman, just even if it was late. He knows he can pull that trigger and possibly get him out of there at any time. So I think the confidence, the home crowd, everything's kind of lining up better for Edwards this time out.
I'm glad you mentioned the home crowd. Because, again, some people might not be aware where this fight's taking place, and this is going to be a big home crowd for Rocky Edwards here. Do you factor that in? Because I think sometimes people wake up and go, oh, the fight's not in Las Vegas? It's overseas? It's over the big pond here? That should factor in, right?
It does. A lot of times, for me, I'd rather be the road warrior, meaning I think there's a lot of pressure on the hometown fighters. But there's a couple environments that I think kind of you don't have to kind of fall on that, meaning that I'm more confident with the hometown guy in a few environments. And in London, the UK, O2 Arena is one of those. I mean, the fighters there, the local fighters, just draw so much energy and enthusiasm from the crowd that it does impact their performance. They perform at a higher level. Same thing with Brazil.
Yeah.
A lot of times those Brazilian fighters really get drawn that energy, the extra energy from the crowd, and it just pushes them to another level. So I think that's what you see with the local UK fighters. They're going to perform at a higher level.
When you look at the total rounds here, and I'm wondering if you're seeing any money move on this, because again, it looked like it was headed for a decision in the second fight, and then boom, that late stoppage in the fifth and final round here. He's still going to waste some juice here, minus $1.75. If you think it's going to go all five rounds this time, have you seen any money moves so far? Right now, juiced at 4.5, big time to minus $1.90.
Yeah, it looks like it's correlated right now. Of course, if you're going to bet Usman, it probably hits the scorecards because Edwards is so tough to finish.
Yeah.
So I think that's what you're going to see. You're going to see a lot of correlations with the Usman side and the over. So if people believe Usman's going to win, why not lay the shorter number, right, as far as the total goes on the over? So that's what you're seeing. You're seeing the majority of the public right now bet the over. Again, another cautious spot. Like you said, minus 175, minus 180. I know it was trending to go to the cards last time, mm-hmm. but again, I'm just – a little cautious with this. Everybody's automatically thinking it's going to happen.
And again, if you like Usman via decision in that correlated play, plus a dollar there, so even money, again, if you don't want to lay the big price tag with Kamaru, and if you don't believe you can get the finish, again, everybody saw the big knockout of Jorge Masvidal, and that's the highlight clip, but that's not the norm for a guy like Rocky Edwards. So again, if you want to lay it with the former champion now, Kamaru Usman, that might be a better way to go to get value for your buck there. Let's get to the co-main. I'm fascinated by the fight. I'm also fascinated with the number because I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, Justin Gaethje was over a $2 betting underdog when this thing opened. It feels like there's some money coming in on the highlight right now against Rafael Fiziev. Now, look, Fiziev is as tough as they come. We know that. Justin never wants to wrestle, right? This is going to be a three-rounder. Are we expecting a three-round war in a stand-up fight here?
I don't think it's going to go three rounds, but yes, I think you're right. It's going to be a stand-up affair. It's going to be a war. These guys love to slug. If anybody actually goes for the takedown, I think it is going to be Fiziev.
Right.
Just to mix it in. I don't think he's going to be focused on going for those takedowns because he doesn't need it. But if you're going to throw your opponent off a little bit and there's going to be wrestling, it's probably going to be Fiziev trying to go for a takedown or two against Gaethje. And on the ground, we've seen that it is Gaethje's weakness. Now,
yeah.
Fiziev isn't exactly a dominant grappler, so to speak, but if there's a weakness in your opponent's game and you could exploit it, maybe you go that path as well. But I do think it's going to be an awesome striking affair, and it is tempting, man. I mean, Gaethje at plus money with that knockout power, everybody's going to kind of be hopping aboard.
Again, here's the thing I don't understand. It's just the psychology of some fighters. I love Justin Gaethje. Who doesn't love watching the highlight perform? And he's yes. basically said since his day one in the UFC, I want to put on a show. And he always does. But you mentioned the wrestling being a deficiency. The guy was a decorated wrestler coming up. And it's almost like he's forgotten how to wrestle. So I guess Rafael, if he wants to, he could have an advantage if he does take the fight down to the ground. We just don't expect that to happen. If you like the fight to go the distance, forget about picking a winner. Plus $1.40, but again, nobody really expecting this one to hit the cards.
No, I don't, honestly, because there's just too much firepower both ways. The technique from Fiziev is what's going to set him apart, I think, here too. And if they do get in a firefight, we've seen all the wars that Gaethje's been in, right? So when is that switch going to just finally shut off and he's going to get knocked out a little bit easier? Because we know he's the type of fighter that gets in a firefight. He could withstand and he looks like he's out on his feet. And then all of a sudden he comes back. So he's that kind of tough fighter that's always going to give his all, right? But in a situation like this, eventually going through all those wars and you're fighting a technical and powerful striker like Fiziev, I think it's a bad formula for him.
Yeah, what's really interesting to me, Nick, and again, you do an unbelievable job of setting the numbers here at Circus Sportsbook, is you look at the total round prop here for 1.5, juiced heavily to the over 1.5, minus $1.75. So you can get some plus money on under here at plus $1.40. But again, to go the distance, plus $1.40, you go back to the Michael Chandler fight against Justin Gaethje. Nobody, myself included.
Myself too.
And I bit the dust on that one playing the under, and that fight ends up somehow going all three yeah. rounds. If it does go all three, is it like a zombie apocalypse and these guys somehow are still standing?
Yes, because, I mean, if it goes all three, we could see a Chandler, you know, Gaethje type of performance.
Right.
Which is, I mean, that was phenomenal. That was one of the best fights ever, the war that those guys went in, and I was on that same track. I was shocked that it went all the way. Because, again, these guys all have firepower, the technique, everything about it. You just expect somebody to go down. So, yeah, I'd be shocked if it does hit the scorecards. But if it does, we're in for an entertaining fight. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and again, you look at the props here for the sub, 25-1 for Gaethje, 20-1 for Fiziev. Nobody expecting this fight to get finished on the ground, but maybe with the hands, I'm sure you're going to take some action there with the KO, TKO, DQ
yes.
props, plus $1.40 for the favorite Fiziev and plus $3.50 for Gaethje.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, a lot of people are going to want to bet those KO props, yeah. inside the distance props for sure. And again, if you're getting fight goes a distance, we probably will see some trickles on there because it's plus money. And again, based on the Chandler Gaethje fight, a lot of people are going to think, hey, we could see it go again. So I'm sure that prop will get some play as well.
I look at the Brian Barberena number against Gunnar Nelson. And look, we understand Nelson. He gets you down to the ground. He's just a different guy when he get down to the ground. But Barberena is one of those super tough guys here. But yet it feels like the money's been coming in on Gunnar. You mentioned the international flavor, and this is going to be basically a home fight here for Nelson against the American and Barberena. But plus 340? That feels a little bit high to me, Nick, but are you seeing any action come in on the big dog here?
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm honestly favoring the Gunnar side here, so I'm trying to keep it a little bit higher, but we have seen some sharp action recently come in on the Barberena side, which I'm actually okay with. Here's the thing. With Barberena, if you look at his last few performances, yeah, outside of the RDA fight where he did get submitted, a lot of those fighters that he was fighting were kind of big-name fighters that are past their primes, like the Lawlers of the world or whatnot, right? And he was able to strike with them and kind of hang in there and he was a little bit more durable. This is a different stylistic type of matchup. He's going to have a lot of problems on the ground if Gunnar Nelson's on top of him.
Yes.
So it's not going to be Gunnar striking with him. So if this was a purely a striking affair, yes, Barberena, that value at plus 340 would be there for sure because he is durable, he gets in those firefights, and more times than not, he's going to be the one coming out on top. But on the ground is where Gunnar's going to take this fight, and on the ground, this fight could be minus 1,000. I mean, it's just crazy difference, I mean, as far as ability and skill set on the ground.
Again, up to plus 350 here at DraftKings today for Brian. I almost look at it like this. If you really want to play the dog, and I know you go, oh, just give me the plus 350, plus 340, plus 650, I don't see a scenario that he wins by decision. That's why it's 9-1. It's actually a longer shot than the KO, TKO, DQ prop. If it stays standing, that's the only way you can win this fight, right? And again, conversely, if you look at Gunnar, yes, he can win by decision plus $1.80, but sub, even money, those might be the correlated plays there, right, Nick?
Yes, I agree. I think if it's Gunnar, it's going to be inside. If it does hit the scorecards, then it probably will be a competitive fight because that means it stayed up on the feet a little bit. But I think for Barberena's side, I mean, you got to kind of focus on the KO as well. Plus 650, if he's able to keep it upright, and we have seen Gunnar take some damage lately as well, he's not in his prime anymore. He's one of my favorite all-time fighters because of the skill set. His striking on the feet, he's got that kind of karate style, and then he blends it in good with his wrestling and jiu-jitsu. But again, Father Time catches up to us all. He's not performing at the highest level right now. Barberena has that confidence a little bit. So if it stays standing, Gunnar could be in trouble.
Very quickly, I've got about a minute to go here. Tell the people about UFC on the line when they check it out in ESPN Plus.
Well, it's an awesome show, of course. You get all of my picks, Yanni the Greek's picks as well. We do the pay-per-view, some fight nights mixed in. And then we also have the Gambler's Perspective podcast, which I got a special guest lined up for tomorrow.
Oh, really?
We'll see who that is. We'll give you, I don't want to play a spoiler here, but Gambler's Perspective also on Fight Pass. Look, I shameless plug here, but UFC Fight Pass is a must.
Yeah.
With all the fight footage that you get on there, all the smaller leagues that are also on there that you could kind of get ahead of the game, meaning a lot of these fighters come to the UFC from like the LFA organizations, the Cage War organizations, all those, like I said, minor leagues. I don't want to say that because there's some great fighters that come from them.
Sure.
But the feeder system kind of into the UFC. And, of course, the gambling analysis from UFC on the line and the Gambler's
Perspective. Well, Nick, it was a pleasure to be on UFC on the line with you and Yanni. Can't wait to do the podcast tomorrow with you. Always great to have the great Nick Kalikas in studio. Check out those numbers on the big board behind us here at Circus Sportsbook. Coming back with Reed Kuhn going to Washington, D.C. next, rolling on this edition of First Strike.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Drew DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you plenty of ways to bet the UFC. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You're going to be able to bet on more than just the main event. DraftKings has great odds on fight lines, total rounds, and futures for all MMA events. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for the full terms and conditions. Rolling along this edition of First Strike, previewing UFC 285. Dave Ross here in Las Vegas. Always a pleasure to go out to Washington, D.C. to catch up with Reed Kuhn. You can follow him on Twitter as I do, at Fightnomics. He is the author of a book of the same title. Reed, always great to have you on. I can't wait for the pairings whenever you get a big pay-per-view like we have here. Very quickly, when you look at Leon Edwards, and obviously you have a lot of data on these guys against Kamaru Usman in this trilogy fight, but so far, are the numbers not indicating to you that there's a lean one way or the other? Right now, about Usman, a $2.45 favorite.
Yeah, so the lean is that I like Usman, but not enough maybe to pay the price here. And we've seen that end in disaster in the last fight. Can lightning strike twice? I don't know. But I do think this is currently appropriately priced. He was winning round to round. He did lose the first round, and then he was knocked out in the fifth. But he showed that he could win over long stretches of time. And that is Usman's game. He can control people, dominate people. He does it on the feet, not just on the ground. It's that pressure game. But what we've seen is that Edwards is pretty slick and wily. He sets you up and he can land a big shot. So this is one, you've heard me say this before. I hope you make your money before the main event. Sometimes you got to sit back and watch it and just appreciate it for what it is. And it's going to be Edwards trying to pull off this second upset another time, this time on his home field advantage. But I just don't want to play that price. I think Edwards is going to make a good fight of it, but might come up short on the cards.
Yeah, I think you do a great job of that, where the number, even though the lean might be to Edwards, there's not the value. You're not finding the value in the numbers here when you break it down the way you do. So that's why it's a pass currently on Reed's board. So again, just take that for a grain of salt here, people, that if the numbers, there's not the value in it, Reed's not going to force feed the play if the numbers don't indicate that it's a smart one to do. I think some favorites that you do like, though, and I want to get to them, and normally you don't like laying big prices, but we're seeing this in the Gunnar Nelson fight. And again, you know, you look at Brian Barberena, and he's such an exciting fighter, action fighter, if the fight stays standing. The problem is we saw against, say, a guy like RDA, if the fight doesn't stay standing, this is not where you're going to get any value here on a guy right now that's plus 350 as a dog. So Gunnar Nelson, home field advantage as well here, Reed, minus 435, but the numbers say that that's still not a bad price. Is that correct?
Yeah, styles make fights, right? And I like the styles matchup here. Look at what Barberena has done. He fought a couple legends, you know, Matt Brown, Robbie Lawler. And in that fight against Robbie Lawler, I did back him as a dog there. And it came through, but he was doing the exact fight that he wants to fight. It was a brawl. It was just a back and forth slobber knocker fight. It was sloppy, but it was brutal. And he has the heart to push through and make that work for him. You're fighting a guy in Gunnar Nelson who loves to fight going backwards. He likes to keep range. They're going to be in a full-size cage. He's got plenty of space to run around, and he's eventually going to find this to get it to the ground. And so being so elusive as Gunnar Nelson is, I'm not expecting him to win on the feet. Mm. I just don't want him to get damaged. And he will find that moment where it's right to take the fight down. And then it is going to be completely his game. He likes to backpack people. He waits for those submissions. He's very patient. And I think he is going to find a moment for a submission against Barberena.
Now, that's where you can get almost even money, Reed, if you like Nelson here on the ground to get that done. Is that maybe a more favorable way to the numbers show? Or do you worry about a decision that Barberena, being as tough as he is, can figure out a way to kind of at least stall on the ground here and possibly get this thing to the cards, and therefore you can't cash that sub price of plus a dollar? Is that the danger in playing the prop instead of just taking Nelson here at that big number?
Well, if you read between the numbers here, based on a very high price, I still think there's value on top of that price. So basically, I'm assuming my win probability is very high for Gunnar Nelson. Mm-hmm. So then the question is assuming he wins with 80, 90% probability, how does he win? And if I do assume that he's going to get it to the ground and he's going to backpack for at least one quarter of all fight time, then he's going to get a chance. He's going to get a chance for that rear naked choke, probably. Those are the submissions that can occur pretty much any time. You don't want to be hoping for an arm bar where people slip out or something more tricky mm-hmm. where your arms get tired. This is a three-round fight. I think he's going to spend so much time in back control that he's going to have multiple attempts at this.
It's a fascinating way to handicap it again. So again, there is value there, even at minus 435. But if you've seen what Reed's talking about with the numbers there, at a submission price of plus a dollar, that might not be a bad way to go here, certainly if you back the favorite in this one. I know you back another favorite, and another big favorite, and this would be Jack Shore in his fight here. And I think Shore right now is almost a $5 betting favorite. What are you seeing in the numbers for Jack here against Makwan Amerikani here? Amerikani on the comeback is a 4-1 dog.
Yeah, sometimes you line up the performance metrics and it's just completely lopsided to one guy. And that's the case with Jack Shore. He has advantages all over the place. Now, Amerikani, I've backed him as a long shot before because he does have this wrestling and grappling that can be a game changer. If you get someone in a bad spot, he's very good at forcing him into the mat and keeping it there. However, we've also seen him pay the price on the feet. He's taken some vicious knockouts in his career, especially on his losing streak. And Jack Shore is exactly the guy to deliver that. He has excellent takedown defense. He has solid grappling credentials. He's been with other wrestlers in fights, and he has very sharp hands. Factor in an extra, you know, he's got an age differential mm-hmm. that does not work for Amerikani's favor. I think it's just totally loaded for one direction here. I think Jack Shore rolls. I think he probably gets a finish, and it's going to be by strikes.
Yeah, you're talking about that age difference here. Amerikani right now, 34. Jack Shore, just 28. So that's certainly going to work out. I know you look at that, and that's certainly something to take into account here for that $5 betting favorite. I want to get to some dogs that you might like on this card here, Reed. And one of them is Luana Carolina against Joanne Wood, of course, formerly Joanna Calderwood. And right now, she's about a plus $1.60 dog here. Wood, almost a $2 betting favorite. What are the numbers showing there that you might have a live dog here?
So it's interesting because sometimes you see all the advantages and sometimes you see two people stacking up almost identically. And that's what I have in this case. You have performance metrics that are even all the way down. They have very similar tendencies, similar accuracy, actually identical accuracy, similar defense. And yet we just mentioned age. You have Carolina, who is 8 years younger. Mm-hmm. So that's a big factor here. And when things are very equal, but we have someone who's a little bit younger, faster, fresher, in a fight that I do expect to spend a lot of time on the feet and I don't expect a finish, this is telling me we're going to see some very close rounds. And you know, you can complain about judging all you want, or you can bank on the fact that sometimes they're going to get it wrong. But in a close round, it's hard to score. And Carolina does have advantages. So can she steal 2 out of 3 rounds at plus 200? I'm willing to take that chance. I see this as closer to a coin flip, and it's a value play.
I love that. So again, when they hit the cards, I say it every week, Reed, just hold your breath, especially if you're backing a favorite like you're mentioning here with Wood, and you got to lay 2-1 in a fight that more than likely is going to go to the cards. I'm picking up exactly what you're putting down there. When I look at the Italian Dream here, Marvin Vettori against Roma Dolice, I saw this number, and I went, wow, I love Vettori. Who doesn't love to watch a good wrestler grapple? But almost a $3 betting favorite to get here against Dolice can be very tricky on his back as well and on the ground. What are the numbers showing here? Are we looking at a live dog scenario on this one?
Yeah, this is another live dog. And again, it's a value play. So I've backed Vettori as well. I love his pressure game. He's not the slickest fighter. It's not a finesse game with him. It's brute force. It's pressure. It's pressure on the feet, but also on the ground. Dolice has come through, though. He's come mm-hmm. through as a dog for me in the past. He's very tricky to deal with. And if you don't get him down, he's very wily on the feet. So he is higher paced. He's a little bit bigger, actually, than Vettori. And Vettori has shown, you know, he can almost gas himself out with that high pressure game. So I wonder if Dolice might have a late comeback later in the fight. But yeah, this is another one where it's just even more even than the odds are telling me. And that's why I want to take the value play. And if you look back at last week, we hit a lot of dogs. And
oh, yeah.
We've been on this unprecedented run of favorites for several months now. So maybe it's time to start seeing some course correction here.
Yeah, we saw a lot of dogs cash last week, certainly in the main event as well. Dolice right now at plus 245 with only one loss on the ledger there. So again, I kind of like that value play, as Reed points out. I got to ask you about the co-main event because I know it's a fight that we all remember, Michael Chandler against Justin Gaethje, maybe the fight of the year last year, Madison Square Garden. And I'm just wondering what the data shows. I mean, we know the data kind of on Justin Gaethje, right? This is a guy that the fights normally don't go that long, but yet that one did, and it did end up hitting the cards. I know we don't expect this against Rafael Fiziev to go to the cards again, but might the bettors look at an overplay of 1.5 here, or do you think there's really just a lot of finishing potential between these two veterans?
Well, Again, this is actually a dog or pass for me. I'm going to see where the prices go because I might be seeing a little bit of value on Justin Gaethje. And that's because when I line them up, he is so precise with his striking. The problem is that he's fairly hesitant. He basically swings for the fences every single time. Now, to your point, if this is a three-round fight, not a five-round fight, that actually bodes well because then there's less risk of him completely gassing out later on. In a three-round fight, he can go for broke, as he normally does. So if anything, dog or pass there, but I'm going to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, again, right now, plus money if it hits the cards, minus money for under a round and a half. Reed, appreciate it as always, my friend. Enjoy the fights. We'll catch up again next week. Come on back. It is UFC 285 on First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Start your morning with VSiN Daily Morning Bets. Josh Applebaum gives you every piece of info you need to get ready for betting the day's biggest games in just 15 minutes. He discusses line movement, injuries, and what you need to be looking at before you make those wagers. So make the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast part of your morning routine. Download and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Dave Ross back here in Las Vegas previewing UFC 286. Keep saying 285. 2 weeks ago was John Bones Jones becoming the new heavyweight champion of the world. Dan Vreeland always gets it straight. You can follow Dan on Twitter as I do at Gumby Vreeland. He's a writer at Gambling Podcast and Cadeside Press, host of Top Turtle MMA and SGPN MMA. Dan, great to have you back on. It does feel like we're turning around these UFC 285 to 286 here just 2 weeks later. You do a great job, I believe, of really looking at some of the smaller fights in the card and finding some value in those. So I'd like to start there if we could. One fight that's really interesting to me is Ludovic Klein against Jai Herbert. And right now, Jai is a small dog plus $1.60. Is this dog going to be barking?
Yeah, this is one of the underdogs I like best on this card because I'll be honest with you, while Jai Herbert kind of got a bad rap early in his UFC career, you know, you look at the loss to Francisco Trinaldo and everybody kind of doubted whether or not he could stand in there and take shots from UFC level talent. He's shown time and time again since then. I mean, granted, another loss or two in there, but like he's shown time and time again, he can take big shots. He can go in there and box with the best of them. And he's going to have a massive reach advantage here over Ludovic Klein. You know, there's an obviously a chance that Ludovic Klein brings his own big KO power. But the fact of the matter is Jai Herbert stings people on their way in when they're trying to get into range. And he does have a massive range. Plus, you know, like if you look back at his time in Cage Warriors, which I think we're seeing a little bit more of a Cage Warriors-esque Jai Herbert in his last few fights, he was a knockout artist. He was somebody who was knocking people out all the time. And I think there's definitely that possibility here against Ludovic Klein.
When you look at Christian Duncan here against Dusko Todorovic, and right now Todorovic about almost a $2 betting underdog here, you got to lay with Duncan 205 right now. Any value on Dusko here? Do you think that the rightful favorite should be a $2 price tag?
I think he should be a $2 price tag. I think this is another one where you're going to see massive reach advantage really play into it. If you've watched Christian Leroy Duncan, it's so confusing. We got Chris Duncan and Chris Leroy Duncan on the same exact card making their debuts. But Christian Leroy Duncan, if you've seen him fight in Cage Warriors, the guy's really rangy. He switches stances all the time. He's got great like Taekwondo style about him. And Todorovic, is best when he is able to strike with you and mix in the grappling. And the problem is here for Todorovic, I don't really think he's going to have any success on the feet. So if he's just going to shoot those takedowns blindly, I think you're going to see Christian Leroy Duncan have no problem stuffing those. Keep it on the feet. And man, he's got some insane knockout power and some insane different angles. He hits those knockouts from flying knees and spinning back fists and all kinds of things that I think is in play here against Todorovic. So, like, look for him to keep that range earlier, make the takedowns harder on Todorovic, and really piece him apart on the feet.
And I'm glad you made that point, though, because some people, Dan, are going to go, wait, Chris Duncan's against Omar Morales here. Get the names right here for these guys making their debuts. Chris Duncan, by the way, $1.05 betting favorite over Omar Morales, -15 for Omar. So, small favorite there for Morales. Let's get back here a little bit to the undercard. I want to look at Patterson, and not only do you like Patterson here to get the win against, you know, Ashmez, but you think Sam might be able to do it in style. And what I mean by that is via sub. What leads you down that primrose path?
So a couple of things lead me down there. First of all, I think Sam Patterson is a great prospect. I kind of doubted him coming into the contender series. I didn't think, you know, just that range would play, his strength would play at this weight class. But the fact of the matter is it's looked really good, and it looked really good on Contender Series. And the thing I like best about it is those long arms are really great for chokes. He's finished a bunch on the regional scene that way. And obviously he sunk in his Contender Series win that way. And when you look at Yanal Ashmov, who fought on PFL, he's a guy who is much, much shorter. We're talking about a guy who is 5'9" fighting a guy who's 6'3". We're going to see a 6-inch height advantage here. And Ashmov is a guy who likes to get in close, who likes to work in close range, because let's face it, he's not going to reach very many lightweights at 5'9" without doing that. And when I've seen him shoot his single leg takedowns, he kind of leaves his neck out there. I really do think the finish is there for Patterson, and over half of his finishes have come by submission. So when you see that at, you know, I've seen it close to $3 for him by submission, I really think you can't leave that there.
And instead of laying the 265, if you can get a plus price tag there for over $3 for Patterson, I really love that value play there via submission. I do want to look at Malcolm Gordon here. He's about a $3 betting underdog to Jake Hadley here. Any concerns for the favorite? Do you think Jake's going to get it done?
You know, I actually think Jake Hadley is going to have even a little bit easier of a time than Mokhamed Mokhaev did against Malcolm Gordon. And here's the reason why. It's not that I believe that Jake Hadley is a better grappler than Mokhamed Mokhaev, but I do think he fights safer sometimes. When you look at Mokhaev, he's so eager to take the neck, or he's so eager to jump on the back without his hooks all the way in, that sometimes he just kind of gives up dumb positions. And when you look at somebody like Jake Hadley, he cares much more about the position than he does the submission. Mm-hmm. And I think against a guy like Malcolm Gordon, who can sweep you, who can take advantage of some of those positions, and we saw him do them against Mokhaev, I don't think he's going to have those opportunities against Jake Hadley. I also think Jake Hadley might look a little bit better with the hands here. So with all of those things in play here, I do think the chalk is probably the right play. I don't think he'll finish him. So if you want to try to spice it up a little bit with a decision prop, that might be the way to go. But yeah, I like the chalk here.
I think that's what all of our experts here in First Strike do. If you don't want to lay the 380 with Hadley, look to a decision prop there, and you're going to shorten that mightily instead of laying almost that 4-1. Joanna Wood, of course, formerly Joanna Calderwood, against Luiana Carolina here. Carolina, a small betting dog. We're seeing about plus $1.60 here for Joanna. You got to lay about $1.90 here. What do you make of what should be a pretty interesting matchup? They look like they're kind of mirror images of each other.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why the line has stayed as close as it is, because a lot of people see this as two Muay Thai specialists up against each other. And, you know, Luiana Carolina, if you let her fight on her feet, can look like a live dog, especially at a plus 160 line against another Muay Thai specialist. But here's the thing, is that I actually believe Joanne Wood is going to go to her grappling a little bit here. When she fought some other fighters who do prefer to stand up and trade with her, somebody like Caitlin Chokagian, she managed to take the fight to her and bring her to the ground. A fight I thought actually she won against Chokagian, for the record. And she did it with her grappling. And I think the crazy thing here is she might find success on her feet against Carolina, but I think by using the clinch, by using her elbows, by mixing it up with her on the feet, I think the takedown's going to be there. I think she's going to open it up for easy takedowns. And we've seen how bad Carolina can be off of her back. I mean, Ariane Lipsky, who we largely think of as a Muay Thai specialist, mm-hmm. knee barred her and broke her leg in half. So, like, I really do believe that Joanne Wood is going to have a massive advantage if it goes there. So maybe she just feels her out on the feet for a while. She winds up taking it to the mat. So I like Joanne Wood here quite a bit.
You know, you look at Justin Gaethje, and the numbers come down a little bit. He is now, he was over a $2 betting underdog here. I've seen about plus $1.90 today against Rafael Fiziev in the co-main event. I don't anticipate this fight gets to the cards, but damn, crazier things are happening. And the Michael Chandler fight somehow did at Madison Square Garden. Plus $1.95 today is the highlight live.
I don't think so, actually. One of the things, and first of all, I love Gaethje, but there's a difference between being entertaining and being really good. And right now, the thing about Gaethje is in all of his losses, with the exception of the one to Khabib, he was stunned on the feet and then promptly finished, right? Like every single one of those fights, he goes into a war and he gets stunned and then finished. And the ones he's won, largely, he's been stunned and not finished. He just so happens to be going up against the guy who's going to finish you if he stuns you, right? Like Rafael Fiziev is not going to let you off the hook the way that Michael Johnson let him off the hook or, you know, other people like that. Fiziev is different. Fiziev is built different. He's got different kinds of, I mean, he does it with his hands and with his feet. And, you know, when he hits you, you go down. So yeah, I like Justin Gaethje. I think he's really entertaining, but unless he seriously changes his style here, I think Fiziev is just going to spark him.
Boy, you took me back to that introduction at the UFC for Gaethje against Michael Johnson, a fight he was getting dominated, right? Until somehow a zombie like comes back, but you're right. He might not have that opportunity if he gets stunned against Fiziev in this one. Main event time. It's the trilogy. Kamaru Usman wants to have that mantle again as the best 170 pounder. We were talking about maybe in history until he lost to Rocky Edwards last time out, kind of got sloppy late. What do you see the trilogy fight looking like?
You know, I'm going to pick Usman to win this fight. I think, you know, the fact that he won 3 out of 4 rounds going into the end of that really gives me hope that that's kind of the path again. Should he have been trading at distance like that? No. And I don't think he makes that mistake again. Of course, you can ask about his headspace and what he's like after getting knocked out by somebody like that. I really don't like the negative 245 price. He's a guy who just got knocked out by this same exact guy. So I certainly don't want to lay 2.5 right there for Usman. But I really do think, you know, he dominated him in the first fight. Years later, he was, you know, mostly dominating him in the second fight, granted by a little bit lesser of a margin. I kind of think he does it again and just does it in a much safer, maybe a more boring manner. So if you're looking for a play there, maybe it's the over.
Dan, I know you got a lot of snow there in the Northeast, so get the shovel out. Enjoy UFC 286. We'll catch up again next week. All right, there he is, everybody, Dan Vreeland. When we come back, we're going to Chicago to catch up with Jordan Sherwood. Get his thoughts next here on First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Continuing our preview of UFC 286, Dave Ross here in Las Vegas. We love going out to the Second City. That's where we find Jordan Sherwood Wood on ESPN 1000. You can follow him on Twitter as I do. And, of course, the host of the unnamed MMA podcast. Jordan, great to have you back. I see sweetness over your shoulder today. You always have a different background. We like that here in First Strike. I want to get to the main event here. Trilogy fight. Kamaru Usman, I guess you can make the case, was the greatest 170-pounder of all time until Rocky Edwards got the head kick that shook up the division, and now it's a trilogy fight, each guy winning one. What do you make of the rematch now, certainly from Kamaru Usman's point of view, where he feels like, hey, I dominated him the first time. I was dominating him the second time until I got careless. How does he avoid being careless in this 5-round main event?
Well, I think, you know, first and foremost, you have to look at Kamaru Usman being the cheapest price that he's been in a fight since he was the underdog challenging for the championship against Tyron Woodley. So, you know, he was more of a favorite against Colby Covington, more of a favorite, obviously, in the first to go around against Leon Edwards when he was the champion. Jorge Masvidal the same. And I don't see much changing out of the first two fights, albeit Kamaru Usman preparing himself and making sure that he goes a full 25 and protect himself from a head kick. There's no question Leon Edwards is a great striker, and he showcased that, you know, in that fifth round. But I got to think that if anybody's going to work on something between the fights, it's Kamaru Usman protecting himself in the stand-up and not necessarily Leon Edwards evolving leaps and bounds to prevent the fight from going to the ground or being controlled where Kamaru Usman wants to put it. So without a doubt, my favoritism in this fight, at least early on in the week at the current price, is the former champion, because I don't think there's anything in the toolbox that Leon Edwards could have improved on over 3 to 6 months to prevent the fight from going to the ground.
And again, Jordan, we're cruising to, you know, hitting the cards. It looked like, until again, maybe from Kamaru Usman's point of view, got a little sloppy. Head was maybe somewhere it shouldn't have been, and Leon Edwards, props to him, took advantage, and now he finds himself as the new champ. If you think it goes closer to the first two fights, right, with the exception of the stoppage, that it does appear it's going to hit the cards, and you like Usman, would you think about Usman via decision, which is about even money, instead of laying that 245 price tag?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, obviously the opening odds here early in the week, you know, point to that. They think it's going to go to the judges' scorecards. And I got to believe if it does, it's Usman that's going to get his hand raised. That we're not going to get a kickboxing match for 5 rounds and have Usman win the fight. I think this fight is going to the ground at some point just because of how versatile a wrestler that Kamaru is, and really the struggles that Leon Edwards has had, not just in the fights against Usman, but just throughout his entire career, guys being able to take him down. So yeah, there's certainly value for me in Usman via decision. The only thing about it is that, look, you know, and you said Usman's the greatest welterweight of all time. I think I'd argue it's still GSP.
Sure.
But there could be something that Usman needs to prove a point. And look, this is a guy in Leon Edwards. He has not been able to finish. He went 3 rounds with him when they first met. He was going to 5 rounds with him when they were going to meet for the second time. So maybe there's a little bit of something that Kamaru Usman needs to prove to himself, prove to the doubters he is the best, and he's able to go out there and put a statement win on this. And I think both guys are probably going to take that approach. You know, both guys won one. So now it's on them to put a definitive, you know, I guess, end to this rivalry between the two.
You know, I think I was on my way to making Usman the best welterweight I'd ever seen until Rocky Edwards got the unlikely stoppage there late in their rematch. So GSP still, to me, you're right, is still the top of the heap here at 170. Very quickly, we know sometimes when you hit the cards and now you're fighting, quote unquote, an enemy territory for Usman, any danger that because of where the fight is, they see it more for the hometown fighter?
I think you can make that argument in other places, but I got to believe that, you know, at the O2 Arena in London, they're a little bit more, you know, I guess, identifiable in regards to who wins the fight. When it talks about Brazil, when you talk about some other places, sometimes there's some shady scorecards that are out there, but I don't believe that that's the case in London, England.
All right, so it looks like Kamaru Usman should be able to get a fair shake here is what we're getting at.
Trash Brazil, by the way? I think I just did.
No, I kind of pick it up what you're putting down there. Sometimes the Brazilians, look, it's because they're so passionate. You're still human, and the judges might hear that reaction, right? And that certainly pops in Brazil. It probably will be that way in London. And again, I don't think we're saying there's any chicanery going on, but sometimes they get influenced by what they hear and by the reactions of the crowds and the oohs and the ahs of rooting for their fighters. So I do think you're right that that could be sneaky, but probably won't be the outcome here in London. I do want to get to some other fights in the card that you like. And I look at Ludovic Klein here against Jai Herbert. And right now, Herbert, a small dog here, about plus $1.60. What do you make of Klein as the favorite in this spot?
I think people forget about Klein's ability to wrestle. I think everybody looks at him and, you know, he gets himself into firefights, and he's a great striker. He's got a good chin. And certainly, you know, a guy like Herbert's going to welcome, you know, that type of opportunity. But just as a slight favorite, I think Klein's not going to mess around with Jai Herbert on the feet and look to take this fight to the ground, you know, in instances during the fight. So him at straight up at the money line, because I think he's got more ways to win and he's got a chin and can go hard for three rounds. Herbert struggled a little bit with cardio as well. And I think the adrenaline dump is certainly going to be a factor for Herbert fighting in front of his home countrymen and wanting to showcase a performance, because he hasn't looked great. He's had a couple of losses, you know, in front of, you know, the London crowd before. So I like Klein. I think Klein wrestles and gets a late finish, or even gets to the judges' scorecards and gets an outright win.
Yeah, I would think you're right. If this fight does hit the ground, it's going to be a big advantage for Ludovic there, and certainly does not necessarily want to have a three-round matchup on the feet with Jai Herbert exchanging punches there. Let's go to Casey O'Neill, a small favorite here against Jennifer Maia. What do you make in this matchup, which should be very interesting, and it feels like it's pretty evenly aligned?
Yeah, I think so, especially if it's going to be, you know, on the feet. You know, Jennifer Maia is tough, former, you know, title challenger, dirties fights up a lot. And I think that's where Casey O'Neill is going to have to safeguard herself if she's going to win this fight. She can't get into a rough matchup, you know, against the cage, you know, that dirty boxing that Jennifer Maia likes to showcase. And then maybe some of her takedowns and some of her Brazilian jiu-jitsu. But Casey O'Neill is by far outclasses her on the feet from the variety of striking and what she can do. And look, she's 9-0 for a reason. She had a little bit of a stumble against Roxanne Modafferi her last time out, taking a split decision win. But outside of that, she's been finishing people, and she likes to do that. And I think this is a showcase fight for her to be one of those other people that's, you know, in line for a title shot. The women's divisions, whatever you look at it, outside of, you know, Amanda Nunez's division, is getting pretty interesting. Casey O'Neill is certainly one of those that I consider and should be the rightful favorite, and I like her straight up in the money line to get the win over Jennifer Maia.
Yeah, not a big price at minus $1.65. That's a lot of respect in the betting market for Maia, obviously, as you mentioned, with her pedigree. But again, 9 years older now she is than Casey O'Neill. Very quickly, when you look at Marvin Vettori here against Roman Dolidze, I was surprised that Vettori is a $3 betting favorite. Of course, we love the wrestling, but we know Roman can be very interesting, certainly with his hands, and even sometimes if the fight goes down to the ground. I know he doesn't want to have a grappling matchup with Marvin Vettori for three rounds, but do you think the dog is live here?
I do. Well, first off, I can't wait for the guy, the face-off. These two guys are crazy.
Yeah.
But I think it's more of me early this week, you know, looking at the streaking fighter. Four wins in a row for Dolidze. He was really impressive. Shocked me. I had Jack Hermanson winning the fight the last time out, but Dolidze with an excellent ground game and put him in that crucifix position, just finished Jack Hermanson. That's impressive. So I'm more so at the price going with the streaking fighter to continue to evolve and get better. Marvin Vettori is as tough as they come. So I think the fight's going to go to the judges' scorecards. But I'll take Roman at that price. Because of how hot he's been, I'm going to ride the wave, if you will. Maybe it's the March Madness in me. You go with that hot team that's going to put together a couple of wins. That's why I like Dolidze early on here Tuesday to get the win.
Yeah, I had Roman against the Joker, and I'm probably not going to shy away from the dog again when you give me almost 250 here on Dolidze against Vettori. Very quickly, in the co-main event, I just got to get your thoughts, because, again, when you look at Justin Gaethje, I mean, it's going to be a show, certainly against Rafael Fiziev. Any chance this fight hits the cards? We didn't think it was going to happen in New York City, and it did somehow against Michael Chandler.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe that it will, because of both of these guys, their versatility, striking, how great of finishers they are. But you're right. You know, Fiziev, or as you said, Gaethje going to the judges' scorecards. Fiziev went to the judges' scorecards against Bobby Green a couple of fights ago. But this fight's going to be bonkers. I'm so excited for it in the co-main event. It should be great.
And again, plus $1.40. Don't even pick a winner if you actually think it can get to the cards, which we don't believe it can. About 30 seconds to go, Jordan. Very quickly, tell the people what they get when they check out the Unnamed MMA Pod.
Yeah, we like this. We break down every fight. I give out, selective winners, and we look at every fight in the main card, give you a winner and why, try to find those variations of props as well that could have some value. On the ESPN Chicago app, me and Adam Abdallah every single week for every fight card.
Do a great job there back in Chicago, Jordan. We appreciate the information each and every week. Enjoy UFC 286. I want to thank Jordan Sherwood, Dan Vreeland, Reed Kuhn, and Nick Kalikas. And Britton Hess does a great job behind the glass keeping this show on track. Enjoy UFC 286. Cash some tickets. We'll see you next week here on First Strike on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.